Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Perek Yutet, Melachim Aleph, Eliyahu HaNavi, just coming back from his triumphant victory as the emissary of God at Har HaKarmel, and the nation accepting Hashem as the Lord, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. Eliyahu is running before the chariot of Ahav, and they get to Yisrael. And let's see what this climactic event of Har HaKarmel leads to. Pasuk Aleph, Vayaged Achav le'Izevel et kol asher asa Eliyahu. Achav seems excited, telling everything to Izevel about what Eliyahu did. Ve'et kol asher harag et kol ha'nevi'im be'harev. And how Eliyahu killed all the Nevi'im by the sword. So it sounds again like Eliyahu was the one who personally carried out those executions. But Achav, in giving over the information to Izevel, doesn't leave out this point and highlights it to Izevel, obviously going to enrage Izevel, who has been taking care of these Nevi'im on her own budget from her father. And now, Vatishlach Izevel Malach el Eliyahu Lemor. Izevel sends a messenger to Eliyahu saying, Ko ya'asun Elohim v'cho yosifun. So shall the gods do, and so shall they further do to you. So because by this time tomorrow, I will place your soul as one of theirs, meaning I will kill you. I will make sure that you will be killed by the sword. So very interesting. Izebel's response is not to be intimidated by this massive showing of faith and loyalty to Hashem, not to be deterred by his massive execution of all the 400 Nevi'i Baal, but rather she issues her own death threat against Eliyahu. At the same time, she issues it through a messenger, meaning she too has some fear of Eliyahu at this point, otherwise she would have just killed him on the spot. She also doesn't have the messenger kill him, because that would turn Eliyahu into a martyr and rally the people against her, and therefore she needs to make sure Eliyahu disappears on his own. And she makes use of a swear that is usually an exclusive usage for swearing by Shem Hashem. It would normally be Ko Yaaseh Elohim V'Cho Yosif, so shall God do in the singular. But here, she swears by the life of the gods, of the plural, of the idols, of the worshipping of the Baal, of the pantheon. Ko Yaasun Elohim V'Cho Yosifun. This is going to be an important indication because it's going to show up one more time in Tanakh, and it's going to be one of the Perakim coming up in Perek Chaf. So it's important to pay attention to that phraseology. But at this time tomorrow, she threatens to kill Eliyahu, and Eliyahu, you would imagine, has been on this high. He's ready to perhaps say, what are you talking about? And he's going to go and challenge her. Vayar, vayakom, vayerech el nafsho. But Eliyahu Navi, he sees what happened. He gets up and he runs for his life. Vayavo Be'er Sheva Shel Yehuda, he runs until he gets to Be'er Sheva of Yehuda. Remember, we were in Israel, in the kingdom of Israel. Now he's ran all the way to Be'er Sheva in the south, in the kingdom of Yehuda. And it's very surprising, but Eliyahu Navi feels that if Achav, after all of this, his sign of loyalty by eating and drinking at the top of the mountain, and running before Eliyahu, running before his chariot, showing that they're a team, but when they get there, instead of Achav killing off Izebel or sending Izebel back home and abandoning the worship of the Baal, Achav allows Izebel to send such a messenger with this death threat. Eliyahu Navi sees that there is no purpose in staying in the kingdom. There's no purpose in fighting back at this point. Achav is not the person he thought he was, and therefore he runs away for his life to make sure that he'd stay alive. Vayanach et na'aro sham. Suddenly we have this secondary character of the Na'ar. He leaves him in Be'er Sheva, similar to the Na'ar that we suddenly found at the scene of Har HaKarmel that Eliyahu sent up to see if the cloud is coming. We have a secondary character here of the Na'ar that seems to suddenly appear and is left at Be'er Sheva. V'hu alach b'medbar derech yom. And he started going in the desert one day's distance. V'yavo v'yeshev tachat rotem echad. And he stayed underneath the tree of the Rotem. Vayishal et nafsho lamut, and he asked Hashem to kill him. Vayomer Rav, said, enough. Ata Adonai, kach nafshi, ki lo tov anochi me'avotai. And he says, okay, God, now take my soul, because I'm no better than my forefathers. So even though Eliyahu Navi is running for his life, he's asking Hashem to take his life. So the seeming contradiction is resolved by recognizing he is ready to give up his life. He doesn't feel that he has any purpose after this failure of Achav to cause a coup and to revolt against Izebel and to have her killed or deported. He doesn't want to die by the sword of Izebel. He wants Hashem to take him out of the picture because he feels he's not done any better than his forefathers in correcting the ways of Achav or the nation. And he lies down and he sleeps underneath the rotem. And suddenly an angel touches him and tells him, get up and eat. He wakes up and he sees by his head a certain type of a food, ugat retzafim, and a pitcher of water. Vayochal vayesht vayashov vayishkav. He eats, he drinks, he returns, and he lies down. Vayashov malach Adonai shenit vayagabo. And then an angel comes the second time and touches him. Vayomer kumecho, says, get up and eat. Kirav mimecha. Kirav mimecha hadarech. Says, get up and eat, because you have a long way ahead of you. Vayakom vayochal vayishter. He get up, he eats, he drinks. וילך בכוח האכילה ההיא 40 יום ו-40 לילה עד הר האלוהים חורב. And he goes with the power of that food that he ate 40 days and 40 nights until he gets to the mountain of God in Horev. And this mountain is none other than Har Sinai. Also a name for Har Sinai is Horev. And again we have a parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu, 40 days and 40 nights without food and drink, just like Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. ויבוא שם אל המערה וילן שם. And he goes there to the cave, and he lies down there. And then the word of God comes to him and says, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Well, it could be that Hashem is asking him, why are you not together with the people? Why did you leave? You should have been staying in with the people and trying to carry out those reforms that you were so eager to have after the showdown in Har HaKarmel. Eliyahu's response is, Vayomer, Kano kineti l'Adonai Elohe Tzevaot. I was extremely zealous for Hashem, the Lord of the hosts, ki azvu britcha b'nei Yisrael, because b'nei Yisrael, they left your brit, they left the following of the Torah. Chazal referred this to as leaving the brit milah, as not performing brit milah, and that's the reason why Eliyahu Navi is punished, that he needs to come to every Brit Milah to show him that he spoke ill against B'nai Yisrael, that really B'nai Yisrael do keep Brit Milah, and he said what he was saying is not true. Et mizbechotecha harasu. The mizbeach of Hashem, they destroyed. Well, was that true? It wasn't true. But they were there when Eliyahu repaired the mizbeach of Hashem, haharus. Ve'et nevi'echa haregu beharev. And the nevi'im of Hashem, they killed by the sword. Well, were they the ones who killed them by the sword? Really, it was Izebel who killed the Behachrit Izebel at Nevi'e Hashem. She was the one who did that. And here we have Eliyahu Navi projecting his fear of Izebel onto the people, having them be guilty for all the crimes of Izebel. He doesn't want to blame Izebel because he can't get her, but he's able to perhaps malign B'nai Yisrael. V'yivater ani levadi, I'm only one left. V'yivakshu et nafshi lekahta. And they wanted to kill me. And again, who wants to kill him? It's not the people, it's really Izebel. So all of the things that he's accusing the people of, it's really Izebel's fault. On one hand, he might also be blaming the people for Izebel being able to get away with all these things without them uprising and having the revolt in the name of Hashem, in the name of their own nationality and religious identity. They're allowing Izebel to overcome them and have the Baal be the influence. Vayomer, and Hashem tells him, Tse, ve'amadata b'har lifnei Adonai. Go and stand at the mountain before Hashem. V'hine Adonai over, and Hashem is going to pass. V'ruach gedola v'chazak, and a great wind and a strong wind, mefarek harim, that can break apart the mountains. Umshaber sera'im lifnei Adonai, and they can destroy the boulders before God. Lo baruach Adonai. But it's not in that wind that you will find God. V'ahar haruach ra'ash, and after the wind, there'll be either a loud noise or an earthquake. Lo bara'ash Adonai. Hashem is not in that earthquake or in that loud noise that you will hear. Ve'achar ha-ra'ash, esh. And after that noise or the earthquake, you will hear, you will see a fire. Lo ba'esh Adonai. Hashem is not in the fire. Ve'achar ha-esh, kol de'mamadaka. And after the fire, there will be a silence, a thinly distinguished silence. And so we hear that Hashem is telling Eliyahu Navi that he is not in fire. And this is something that he's trying to have Eliyahu understand, that that's not the type of a test that he established for himself. He didn't like this idea that Eliyahu came up with for the Shodan and Har HaKarmel. Certainly he wasn't going to let Eliyahu down, and he wasn't going to be shown up as not being the real God, but this is not what Hashem wants. He doesn't want to be proven by fire. He doesn't want to have the loud shows, whether it be by wind or a noise or fire. Hashem is in kol de'mamadaka, in the silence. And really what he's probably referring to is that Hashem is saying, I'm not here to have these shows, to show Bnei Yisrael that I exist and to show them that I'm here. That wouldn't leave them with their free choice. They won't have a way of determining their own path. Really, I want them to decide. I want them to believe. I don't want them to have this in their face that I'm here that makes them have no free choice. And therefore, lo ba'esh Hashem, I'm not ready to perform in fire. That's not really what I'm about, says Hashem. Really, what we need is kol de'mamadaka. We need you to act in a different way, Eliyahu. We need you to stop being so fiery and zealous. We need someone else. We need a different attitude to deal with the people. Vahi kishmoa Eliyahu, vayalet panav be'ardarto. And when Eliyahu saw that, he wrapped his face with his aderet, with his cloak. Vayetzeh ve'amot petach ha'me'ara. And he went out and he stood at the path of the entryway of the cave. Vihine elav kol. And then he heard a voice, Vayomer, Malecha po Eliyahu. And the voice told him, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? The same exact question that was asked of him a few psukim ago, Hashem asks him again. Now after I told you, Lo Barash, Velo Baruach, Velo Ba'esh, is now do you understand, what are you really doing here, Eliyahu? What's your response this time? Vayomer, Kano kineti l'Adonai Elohe Sabaot. And he repeats the same response. Eliyahu doesn't understand that he needs to shift his focus. He's not ready to change his ways. He wants to stay the way that he understands God. He wants to be zealous. He's ready to stay that way. He's not ready to change. And he repeats his response word for word. I have been jealous for you, God, the Lord of the hosts. Ki azvu britcha b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael left your brit. Et mizbechotecha rasu, they destroyed your mizbeach. Ve'et nevi'echa harugu b'harev, and they killed your nevi'im. Ve'yivater ani levadi, and I'm the only one left. And they wanted to kill me. All throughout, we have this idea, even when it was at Har HaKarmel, Eliyahu feels that he's always alone. Even though we know there were other Nevi'im, he always feels that he's the only one who really represents God, because he's the only one who has this zealousness. He's the one who will personally kill all Nevi'i Baal. He has this idea of how things should work, that there should be no tolerance of any foreign influence. Vayomer Adonai Elav. And God tells him, Lech, shuv ledarkecha midbar ha-Damasek. Says, go back and return on your way, and go to midbar ha-Damasek, towards the Damasek. Ubata, and you're going to arrive there, umashachta et Hazael lemelech al Aram. And you're going to anoint Hazael to be the king of Aram. Ve'et Yehu ben Nimshi, timshach lemelech al Yisrael. And then you'll return, and you also will anoint a new king on Israel instead of Ahav. His name is going to be Yehu ben Nimshi. ואת אלישה בן שפט מעבל מחולה תמשח לנביא תחתיך. And instead of you, we're going to have a replacement. Somebody else is going to take your place. His name is Elisha ben Shafat from Avel Mechola. He's the one that you're going to anoint to be the Navi in your place. והיה הנמלט מחלב חזאל ימית יהו. Those who escape from the sword of Hazael, Yehu will kill. והנמלט מחלב יהו ימית אלישה. And those that escape from the sword of Yehu, Elisha will kill. V'hishalti b'Yisrael shiv'at alafim. And I will leave in Israel 7,000 people. That's it. Those are the people who are going to survive. Kol ha-birkayim asher lo kar'u la-ba'al. All the knees that didn't bend to worship the Baal. V'chol ha-peh asher lo nashak lo. And those are the mouths of the people who did not kiss the Baal. So we have here Hashem responding to Eliyahu and telling him, you're fired. You have already had enough chances to understand and to commiserate with the people. And instead, you've chosen to run away to the desert. You've decided to stick to your path of zealousness, to your fiery attitude against the foreign influence, and that's not something that's going to be successful with the Jewish people. We need a different attitude, and we're going to have that come through with Elisha ben Shaphat. At the same time, Hashem continues to tell Eliyahu, whatever you asked for, you're getting. You asked for the drought, I gave you the drought. You wanted me to perform in the fire, I performed in the fire. Now you were asking for zealousness, you're going to get zealousness. What is the zealousness? We have the anointment of Hazael as the king of Aram, who is going to be one of the most cruel kings of Aram against Am Yisrael. He's going to cause a lot of damage and kill a lot of Am Yisrael. And Yehu ben Nimshi is going to have a very bloody revolt against the house of Ahav. And he's also going to lead these religious reforms that are in the flavor of Eliyahu and Navi. And Elisha ben Shaphat is going to be the Navi to take his place, so that even though Hashem is replacing him, he's telling Eliyahu, we still have people who are going to be Kanaim, there's still going to be a lot of bloodshed. And whoever tries to escape, one of the other characters is going to bring them to their death. There's only going to be 7,000 people left that are going to be the people who don't worship the Baal. There's only 7,000 who can identify themselves religiously and nationally as Yisrael. Vayelech misham, vayimsa et Elisha ben Shaphat. And he went from there and he found Elisha ben Shaphat. Well, what happened? He was supposed to go anoint Hazael, the king of, to become the king of Aram. But Eliyahu does not listen. And as we saw before, even in the other times where Hashem was speaking to him, it seems to be that Eliyahu Navi doesn't always listen to what Hashem is telling him to do. But he does see Elisha ben Shaphat, and Elisha ben Shaphat, who horesh shnei masad simadim lefanav, he's in charge of 12 pairs of ox that are plowing the ground, plowing the field, v'hu b'shnem he'asad, and he's in the 12th one. V'ya'avor Eliyahu elav, v'yashlech adarto elav, and he passes, Eliyahu passes Elisha, and he throws his aderet, Eliyahu throws his special cloak towards Elisha. Now, he was supposed to anoint him as the Navi in his place. It seems to be that that's something of what he's doing. He's passing over the mantle, literally, he's passing it over to Elisha. But he's not doing any anointing, and he's not telling him anything. He just symbolically throws him his coat. V'ya'azov et ha-bakar, Elisha picks up on this, and he leaves the bakar that he is in charge of, this entire field. It seems to be that he's very wealthy. Having 12 pairs of ox just for plowing the field means the field is very, very large. And he's in charge of this entire operation. It means that Elisha must have been the owner of this field. But he's leaving the bakar. Vayaro sahar Eliyahu. He leaves whatever he's doing and he runs after Eliyahu. Vayomer eshkana le'avi ulimi ve'lecha harecha. Let me kiss my mother and my father and I will follow you. So he understands that he's supposed to be joining Eliyahu. He's ready to leave his whole life behind him, but he wants to give a last kiss to his father and his mother. We already see here the difference between Eliyahu and Elisha. While Eliyahu doesn't have any recorded mother or father, we don't know where or who they were. Elisha has a mother and a father. He has a relationship with them. He's being very sensitive. He wants to give them the kiss. It's a different personality. This is the solution that Hashem is giving for the replacement of Eliyahu. Ve'elecha harecha v'yom elo lech shuv. Eliyahu says, go ahead and go back. Ki me asiti lach. What did I do to you? He doesn't see this as any big deal. He's already so used to being Navi, he doesn't see this to be of great importance. He's perhaps even looking at Elisha saying, ah, poor guy, he's going to have to now do what I've been doing till now and put up with the people that don't listen. And Elisha, v'yashov me'acharav, he goes back, v'yikach et semet ha-bakar. And instead of just kissing his mother and his father, he starts doing other things. He takes the pair of the ox that he was working with, v'yizbahehu, and he brings them as korban. U'b'chli ha-bakar b'shlam ha-basar. And he uses the utensils, all of the different tools that he had for working those cattle, and he cooks them, he cooks the meat. Meaning he uses these kelim to be the wood for the fire in order to cook the animals. And he gives to the people and they eat. which is exactly the opposite of what Eliyahu and Avi's performance was during the time of the drought. Eliyahu made sure he had his own food. Hashem gave him something to eat, but he wasn't concerned about the rest of the people, only with the people he was with. And here, the very first act of Elisha is to feed the people gratis from the animals that he had. He was giving them up, and this is obviously a symbolic gesture of Elisha leaving behind his life as the farmer. He's taking the animals that are used for the plowing, killing them. He's ending that life. He's taking the tools and the utensils, burning them, and he's giving them over to be able to be part of this celebration. Vayakom vayelech ahare Eliyahu vayisharetehu. He gets up and he follows after Eliyahu and he serves him. This is not the anointment and replacement as God had said. Eliyahu doesn't inform him that Elisha will be taking his place, but rather he allows Elisha to accompany him as a sidekick and to serve him. And Elisha's job as Navi will only begin later on in the beginning of Melachim Bet as the actual Navi taking over Eliyahu's place.